You're listening to Arena. Mezzo Masterpiece is a new series of three online concerts featuring mezzo-sopranos Paula Murrahy, Sharon Carty and Tara Rocht, together with a socially distant Irish National Opera Orchestra. Thanks to the OPW, these concerts will be live streamed from Kilkenny Castle on the 24th of October, Castletown House, Selbridge on the 31st and finally Dublin Castle on the 15th of November. I'm delighted to say that Tara Rocht joins me now. Before we get to your mezzo masterpiece, Tara, let's hear a little of Rossini's Cinderella. This is the aria Non più mista, the opera you were about to open in at the New York Met when the pandemic shutters fell in March.
Non più mista canto al fuoco, starò sola a gorgheggiar l'aria. Un sogno, un gioco, il mio lungo malvita.
Tara Rocht there singing Non Pui Mesta, the aria from Cinderella. So, Tara, you're very welcome.
Good evening.
So you should have played in the Met in New York in March playing Cinderella. And currently you should be there again with the Tales of Hoffmann. Is that right?
That's right. So all the rehearsals were finished and it was actually the opening night in New York. And at about 20 to 1, they called to say they'd actually decided to go ahead and close the theatre along with Carnegie Hall and Lincoln Center. And were giving me permission to leave the country at my earliest convenience and return to Ireland, because at that stage, of course, they knew that America was going to put a travel ban on European citizens. So that was that. After all the rehearsals, we never got to actually do the show.
Now, I suppose you, like everybody else, have to put things in context, but it is pretty rough having to say no or not be allowed to do those wonderful roles.
Of course, of course. I mean, the one thing is everybody was in the same position, and not just in that particular theatre, but worldwide. Obviously, I had been hearing at that stage for a few days how continental Europe had already kind of closed down. Ireland had closed down like 2 days before. And to be honest, I was quite glad that I was been given the opportunity to return home before the real lockdown actually happened. And I would be stuck in a city where I didn't have, you know, family and people I knew. So in one sense, I was actually also very lucky to be able to do that and come home in time.
And of course, the National Concert Hall here in May had you doing one of those wonderful live streaming shows that you did, which was you and your accompanist on the stage of the National Concert Hall. How did you find that? Did you find it strange?
Well, first of all, I was so privileged to be asked to launch that series. I mean, it was the first live streamed event really to happen, and one of the first to happen in all of Europe. So chapeau to the concert hall that they were able to organise that and put it up on its feet. I have been working with Dervla Collins since I started studying at the Royal Irish Academy of Music. So years and years, a relationship that I think made such an event much more comfortable. It was a really strange experience, let's just be honest. Very, very strange for me, a people person, to have to try and communicate through the camera. And I'm so used to working from the public's reaction and from the reaction in the room. The concert hall is a place that I know unbelievably well. I mean, I worked there for so many years as an usherette, and I have sung there so often. I know from the people from the backstage, front of house, the public, I feel like it's a coming home event. So to be there and it empty was quite emotional, if I'm very honest. But it was really an incredible experience, because you could almost feel the palpable tension of the people behind the camera. And what maybe the audience maybe even don't know is that, I mean, there really was nobody else in the auditorium. The cameras are all run remotely. So it was just myself and Dervla. And the concert hall is such a stunning acoustic that one of the very special points of that evening was that the audience never get to hear that acoustic. This really empty hall, kind of intimacy. And I thought it was a perfect setting then for such a recital with piano, and a really clever undertaking from the concert hall.
Yes, and I thought it was shot so wonderfully, so closely, and just the whole atmosphere, it gave it a real special feel to the whole evening.
Well, that's great that it carried.
So you've spent a lot of time in Munich over the past 12 years. It's a kind of home from home for you. How are circumstances there in terms of performing? And do you think you might get a chance to perform there?
Well, as you mentioned, I was contracted currently in this period to be singing Le Conte Hoffmann at the Met in New York. They cancelled that quite early. So that was already around the end of June. And within 24 hours, Munich at the Bavarian State Opera, they called to say that they were reconsidering their programming. And because I was now free, they would offer me a role in Mozart's Così fan tutte in September. So, of course, I took that with bells on and was only too delighted. So I left Ireland at the end of August and I returned to Munich and we began rehearsals. Now, the situation in Munich was, as an artist, you had to turn up early. You'd have two tests before you were allowed in the theatre, and both tests had to return negative. You were tested every day then for the first week. And then after that, one person from the cast was tested every day. So you were tested every fourth day, which meant in turn that in your cell as a cast, once you were in the room and the doors were closed, if you were singing, you didn't have to wear a mask. But you were only allowed to see the people in your cell, so in your cast, and you had to agree not to socialise with anybody else or not to be in the shops or so on, which was absolutely fine. Because to be honest, at that stage, I was so very desperate to get back on stage. They could have asked anything of me and I would have agreed. The interesting thing there was that the government had said they can only allow maybe 150 people into a theatre, and a theatre that usually sits 2,500, you wouldn't even notice 100 people. I mean, you'd think the place was empty. But what they decided to do was remove the first 7 rows of the auditorium. So take out all the chairs. They covered in the orchestra pit and then they spread the orchestra out so that they could all be socially distanced. And in turn, then they used the hydraulic system there to raise the stage. So we were slightly higher up than usual. Now, in a theatre that's been there before the First World War, that was then rebuilt and relaunched after the Second World War, they were never in such an acoustic situation before. And one of the kind of gems of working in a theatre that's as busy as Munich, that theatre turns out 44 operatic productions a season. So the turnover is huge, absolutely huge. But usually that also means the rehearsal period is incredibly short. But they really had to change everything. Obviously, none of the musicians had been rehearsing together either for those 6-7 months of the lockdown. So it was really a new beginning for everybody. And I felt, if I can be very honest, I felt that everybody was really open to learning how to overcome the new obstacles that were thrown into the kind of COVID restriction in performance.
And did it all go well without any COVID or musical glitches?
It did. I have to say it went really well. And we were very lucky that the government in Germany used the Bavarian State Opera as a kind of project. And they decided that they would see how it would go if they allowed 500 audience members into the public. And when you go from 150 to 500, it really makes a difference. And the public were so incredibly enthusiastic. Now, we also were under the time restrictions. So we took a 4-hour opera and cut it down to 2 hours. There was no interval. And so it was really interesting and kind of heartening to see that the public were still so enthused by what we were able to put out with the restrictions.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's go on to mezzo masterpieces. You're going to be singing in Dublin Castle on the 15th of November. That's the final concert. And Fergus Scheele of the INO, he's the artistic director there, he's going to be conducting. What will you be singing and how did you choose the arias?
So actually, in speaking with Fergus recently, Fergus and I go back such a long time, but my second ever proper professional performance in Ireland was with the National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Fergus. And one of the arias that we sang at that particular concert, a Rossini aria, is, I'm going to repeat it now in this concert, and I really haven't done it very often, but it's a kind of a coming of age. I sing a lot of Rossini and have been very lucky to also get to bring my signature roles home. But I feel now is a great time and opportunity to show people that I have quite an expansive repertoire, and also that these composers have a much bigger repertoire. I tried to pick things that were as fireworky as possible, because I think we could all do with a little jolt of energy and some positivity. So there's nothing too sad in there, I have to admit. For me, it was a very obvious and easy road to come to this programme. I have to say, I am a huge fan of the other two ladies. So Sharon Carty and I, we studied at the Royal Irish Academy of Music at the same time. And I've been listening to Sharon for years and years. And she is such a polished and poised performer. Yeah.
So,
and I think...
So Tara, we just don't want to leave without playing some of the Rossini.
Sure.
So this is Assez Hiver. Assez Hiver from Rossini's The Barber of Seville. That's a very demanding song, isn't it? And it's seldom sung, Tara.
It is indeed, but I've been very lucky with the great teachers I've had that it's something I learned many, many years ago with Veronica Dunn.
Well, thank you very much. Mezzo Masterpieces will be live streamed on the 24th and 31st of October and the 15th of November, where you'll see Tara Rocht. Further details from irishnationalopera.ie. That's it for tonight's show. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. The researchers were Paula Shields and Liam Murphy. And the programme was produced by Olan McGowan.